Welcome back, friends. I'm Chef Walter. This episode of Flavors and Knowledge will focus on the ancient art of drying pasta. Nothing says Italian food like pasta, and pasta is an integral part of Italy's food history. As usual, my podcasts are not very long. I believe in delivering quick, consistent learning, notions that you can hopefully remember and remain with you. As you probably know, Italian immigrated worldwide and brought the artistry of pasta making wherever they landed. So much has been the influence that today pasta can be considered a staple of international cuisine. I am also certain that you were probably taught in school that the Venetian merchant Marco Polo brought back pasta from his journey to China. But historians have debunked that myth and agreed that for Marco Polo, the noodles in China were really a rediscovery as opposed to a discovery. Italy had already some form of noodle type among the Etruscans and the Romans. Etruscans were inhabitants of an area called Etruria, located just north of the city of Rome. The dynasty of the race was also short-lived, as they were decimated by the Romans in a very short period of time. And so, as a matter of fact, in the city of Viterbo in the Lazio region, there is a museum which offers evidence of wooden tools used to make a paste with durum wheat and water, which was called lagana. The lagana in question is the today version of lasagna sheet, and we have mentioning of this type of dough as far back as the 1st century AD, at a time the pasta was really baked and not boiled as we do today. As you can see today, pasta has changed completely even in terms of offering and creativity. Many bars and restaurants offer pasta chips as snacks, to pair along with beer or cocktail, and prepared with a variety of ingredients, from spicy to sweet or to semi-sweet. Ancient lagana had some similarities with modern pasta, but perhaps cannot be considered quite the same. Going back to the word macaroni, that word derives from the Sicilian term for kneading the dough with a lot of energy, as early pasta making was often a laborious day-long process. And if you make pasta today, you know that it could take several hours. And the process of giving is exactly that. People who make homemade food are people who love to share. Up to 25 years ago, Americans called any types of pasta macaroni, with a generic term. Years later, with the advent of many more types and designs, the glossary expanded, and today, I must admit, consumers know exactly the type of cut they like for their particular application. But in Sicily, the condiments were slightly different than throughout the mainland, and still to this day, some of the dishes may include raisins or cinnamons, which may be connected to the Middle Eastern influence during the medieval times. Eventually, these recipes made it throughout Italy and Northern Europe, and of course today they are normally on every table of the peninsula and throughout Europe. By the 1300s, the dried pasta was very popular for its nutritious and long shelf life, making it ideal for long ship voyages. With the discovery of new methods and technology, pasta became easier to make and transport. With these innovations, pasta truly became a part of Italian life. However, the next big advancement in the history of the pasta would not come until the 19th century, when pasta actually was paired with tomatoes. Although tomatoes were brought back to Europe shortly after their discovery in the New World, it took a long time for the plant to be considered edible. And in fact, tomatoes are a member of the Nicedale family, and rumors of tomatoes being poisonous continued in parts of Europe. and also through the colonies until the mid-19th century. Therefore, it was not until 1839 that the first pasta recipe with tomatoes was documented in several of the cookbooks of the time. And shortly thereafter, tomatoes took hold, especially in the south of Italy, mostly in the Campania region among the Neapolitans. As the production of pasta became increasingly industrialized by the middle of the 18th century, it was still both expensive and labor-intensive. In early factories, workers mixed water and flour to form a paste, and then an operator sitting on a wood bar bounced up and down to knead the pasta, a process which took over 2 hours to complete. A second team of burly men began to form the paste into what one would recognize as pasta today. With the advent of the torchio, which was similar to a press, operators known as pastai or extruders placed the kneaded dough into a cylinder, compressed by a screw, and by using a system of levers and ropes, forced out delightful strands of noodles. But as shaping the dough became easier, a dilemma developed. After hours of pasta extrusion, no degree of mechanization could resolve a simple fact. If the pasta was not consumed immediately, it needed to be air-dried in a well-ventilated space. Unfortunately, there was no new invention at the time for drying pasta. Factory had to rely on the same technology as the ancients before them, and of course that was the wind. Thus a new profession was born, the aisagan, the pasta dryer. Although this type of work likely existed already during the Pompeii time, people had to dry handmade pasta somehow, and it became a true profession as the production of pasta became much more industrialized. After pulling long strands of extruded pasta onto spallette, the aisagan walked through the streets constantly, maximizing and monitoring their positions to guarantee the preservation of the dried strands of pasta, occasionally using whips to prevent passing animals and humans from touching the drying edible gold. And if I can virtually explain this method, imagine two young boys with two long sugar canes resting on their shoulders, with long spaghetti hanging from them, walking through the streets, seeking the sunlight, and hoping to dry them before returning to the factory. Ingenious to say the least, to the point that even as late as 1957, many people outside of Italy had no clue on how pasta was dried. And it's worth noticing that on April Fool's Day of that year, the BBC aired a story about Italians picking long strands of spaghetti from spaghetti trees and led many viewers to call in, curious about how they could plan their own version. What we do know for certain is that particular method has evolved with new technology today and, of course, emulated worldwide. That is a quick story on how pasta was originally dried, and I hope it was informative to you. I find it always interesting to share some notions like this, things that makes us better shopper, better gourmand, and of course, better eaters. So, this is all for this episode. Subscribe to Flavors and Knowledge on your preferred podcast platform. And if you have a chance, follow our YouTube channel under Chef Walter's Cooking School. Keep your eyes on the fire, and of course, thanks for listening. Ciao, ciao.